Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome, New Life family and friends. It's actually Chris Williams sitting in for Steve today, and I have Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Hey, good to see you.
Good to see you, Dr. Alice Benton.
Ladies and gents, so glad that you're tuning in to us today.
Yeah. And we are so excited to get to your phone calls, and we will do that shortly. But I want to talk, we were talking a little bit about before the show about this. We are living in unprecedented anxious times. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry, and it just seems to be piling on and on and on and on. And so what in the world can we do about this? Because we know we work in the field, so we get that there are devastating effects to this compiling anxiety in our lives. So what can we do about it?
Well, Alice, you were just filling us in. I'm not sure you want to talk about it on the air, but it is crazy. There's like some pop star who's selling Satan shoes that, you know, have human blood in them. And stuff that I'm in shock. My jaw is still kind of dropped by the things that we're seeing today. And I think the only thing that the place that I go back to is, back in the day when Jesus was walking and his disciples were hanging around with him, he had this beautiful time of coming into the world and getting to talk to people. His name was being proclaimed. He was healing people and doing amazing miracles. And then all of a sudden, everything turned upside down. Everything that was good went crazy. And it ushered in, for Christ, it ushered in what seemed like a devastating moment, and it was, right, his crucifixion. Mm-hmm. But little did those disciples know that just on the other side of that crucifixion was his resurrection, and that's why we are saved. And so no matter how scary things feel right now, I guess I do this in order to cope with my own anxiety. I kind of put myself back in those Jesus days, and I'm like, all right, if the disciples did it, and it felt like everything went sideways, and Jesus had a plan that I might not be able to see, I'm going to ride that wave. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to today say, even though things may not seem like they're making sense, and we're frightened by many of the things we're seeing, that his plan for coming back is set in place.
Yeah.
He's got us.
Yeah.
He's going to come back and take us with him, and I rest in that. Mm-hmm. Because I can't change the world around me. But I know I'm changed because of salvation, and I know I'm secure in him. And so I'm thinking he might be coming back sometime here in the near future.
And we're commanded to hold on to this hope.
Yeah.
You know, at Renovare Counseling, the counseling center I lead, we have one of our core values is resilient hope. And we like this word resilient because it's like no matter what the conditions are, that we are going to hold on to hope, and that is the power of one of the many powers of Christ's salvation, is that despite what's going on, we know the last chapter, we know how it ends, and that's what we're holding on to.
Do you know, back in the day when Hebrew was written, it was written much like Egyptian Chinese. It was word pictures, and the word pictures, you know, when you looked at them, they would tell a story. Do you know what the word hope is in ancient Hebrew?
What is it?
What comes after the nail? We think about the resurrection of Christ. We think about the crucifixion. We think about what comes after the nail. And we are in that season of what comes after the nail.
Yes.
But let me tell you, our Savior is not going to leave us. He's going to take us. So now is the time to tell your friends. Don't wait. Tell people about Jesus and the hope that he brings.
Absolutely. And connect with us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, to get help in life's hardest places, and we will provide that hope. Thanks, and we'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back, and Chris Williams in for Steve Arterburn. I got Dr. Allison, Dr. Sherry with me today, so let's get right to the phones. We are going to go to Jan in New York, New York, listening on the internet. Jan, are you there?
I am. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. We're glad to have you. How can we help you?
Well, I am realizing that I am always concerned and overly concerned about my children's opinion of me. I'm an octogenarian, and they're all in their 50s and 60s now. And I just need to get a life. That's what I need. Mother's Day, two showed up, and with their oldest sibling, my oldest daughter, who has a diagnosed brain disease. So she was all present and good, but I didn't enjoy them as much as I was worrying about those that did not want to talk to me. So is the... how do I get to the root of that, and is the solution with the emotional conference coming up in August?
Yes. Well, I think that that's definitely a significant part of the solution. But we don't want you to wait. We want you to go to it in 2 months, but we don't want you to wait 2 months to start the journey. And so,
yes,
so my first question is just this. How much of your life have you spent being worried about other people's opinions of you, and how much power has that had over your life?
Well, I would say a good part of 60 of the years, for sure, but I think it's getting better all the time.
Uh-huh.
I'm more aware of it.
Okay, and so I have another question, and that is, what is your opinion of you?
I am really examining that, and I take it back to, what does God think of me? And I want to get on his side and not worry about what I think.
Okay, but let me ask the question one more time. What do you think of you? What is Jan's opinion of Jan?
I think that I am doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm doing the best that I can, and I'm always open to doing better.
Okay. Excellent.
And Jan, if you had to guess why some of your children aren't talking to you, which must be very painful, what do you think they would say if we were able to ask them, why aren't you talking to your mom?
Well, I would think they would repeat what they've said already, which is they don't trust me. They think I lie.
And what have you ever done that added to that opinion they have about you?
That's a good question.
I certainly have lied. Have you ever lied to your kids?
I openly said to them I faked it my whole life. I just don't admit anything, especially if anybody says, how are you? I say, oh, fine. So I told them, I think a part of the problem right now is I'm changing and they don't know how to handle me.
Can I?
I'm trying to be really upfront and honest and...
Well, I like that,
and I
like that you're not faking it, and that could be pretty shocking to them as well, and they may not know. But what I just want you to be aware of is that not faking it and turning over that leaf is one thing, but getting connected to yourself is something else. So when I asked you what your opinion of is of you, you had a very, very vague answer. Like, it was,
you're kind of faking it with us too.
Yeah, that thank you, Sherry. Yes. Yeah.
No, true. Yeah, because he did. He really was trying to find out your heart on it. But first you started with, well, I want to basically see myself as God sees me, which really wasn't answering his question. And then he asked you again, and you said, well, I'm doing good, but it was really kind of shallow, right? It wasn't...
Yeah, I'm still faking it.
I know. Now, so why are you faking it? What is faking it protecting you from, even with us? What's the benefit of faking it?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, because some people, we fake it because we're afraid if we're honest, people won't like us. But the really weird thing is when we're faking it, people know it. And then they don't like us anyway because we're not real.
That's the truth.
Right? So what?
I don't know. I guess I don't know myself.
Yeah. I would say that's...
I've analyzed it my whole life.
Jan, I think one of the things you're trying to avoid is fully facing and accepting how much pain you've caused your children. It's been very painful that they haven't had a genuine, sincere mother and that they couldn't trust you, and they apparently still can't trust you. And I don't think it's easy for you, and it's not for any of us, to lean into the fact that we have caused our children pain, and we have to become good listeners to their pain in order to rebuild the trust. It's not confrontational truth that will turn the relationship around with your children. It's going to them with humility and confession of, I've really screwed up in a lot of ways as your mom. I've hurt you and you can't even trust me. Would you tell me what that's been like for you? And I'm going to listen this time. I'm not going to defend. I'm not going to explain. And I'm not going to tell you about all the work I'm doing to get better. I just want to hear about the pain I've caused you. That's a very risky question to ask, but it's a very healing question to ask, Jan.
That's good. And when I have acknowledged it, they usually can't handle it too well.
Well, and they honestly may struggle with what you struggle with, and that is getting in touch with their own hearts. Because that's actually a learned skill. It's not something we come into the world with. It's something that is modeled or reflected back to us. But when it's not, we don't know how to do it. So, Jan, you've spent a lot of time figuring it out. But you're trying to figure out the unfigureoutable. I'm going to make up a word there. Because what needs to happen is you need to now feel it out. And that's where you get connected with your heart. So you do not have a broken mind. You have a broken heart. And it's in the broken heart where we enter into that space and that world, and we learn what it looks like and learn its language and learn what its experience, its lived experience, that we can then start accessing that. And that's what becomes the real tangible stuff that people can hold on to and really connect at a deeper level with. Because my guess is your life has also felt very lonely.
I guess. I like being alone.
I'm sure.
I never think of myself being lonely.
That's okay. And you may just like being alone, and that's okay too. But I really would love for you to be able to access your heart.
Yes. And I think you've hit it.
Yes. And so... absolutely. That's where the Emotional Freedom Workshop will help you a lot, because it does just that. We get to issues of the heart. We certainly address issues of the mind. But again, most people that I talk to don't have broken minds. They have broken hearts. And so I think better than mental health, I think we can call it heart health.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're going to send you a copy of the Emotional Freedom Workbook. That workbook is going to really, really propel you as you get prepared for the Emotional Freedom Workshop. With that, I want you to know, after our workshops, it just doesn't end there at that at that one day or that weekend. What happens is that you have the opportunity to continue to work with one of our counselors in a group setting to keep working this freedom out. And what I love, 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 Jan, I cannot tell you I love this more than you can possibly imagine, is you're an octogenarian, as you said, looking to continue to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
It's never too late and it's never too early. And so thank you for your courage and your honesty and your faithfulness for continuing this important work in your life.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
You are welcome, and thank you for calling in. And so let's get to another phone call, and let's go to Edward in West Sunbury, Pennsylvania, listening on the internet. So, Edward, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Good, good. Talk to me, man. What's going on?
Well, for as long as I can remember, I've battled with depression, and my wife, she, whenever we got married, she knew that something was wrong, but she just didn't know what it was. And just after like a few years of being married, she took me to like a natural doctor, chiropractor, and he did prescribe me some like vitamins and other stuff like that. And but just recently, God's been showing me that some of the things that's been causing my depression, and I've had a lot of unconfessed sin. Like, it makes me think of where David said, when I had kept silent. And so, like, the past year, God's really been working on me, and I've been going through some trials, and it was getting to the point where I was having a hard time trying to hold down jobs. And
yeah.
So,
well, and Edward, what's a question for us? How can we help you?
Well, the one thing that's come up is my question is because I read a couple books and I've just, it's kind of hard for me to say this out loudly, but I've read a couple books and I see that other people struggle with like losing their desire and their like arousal.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's currently where I'm at right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens. It definitely happens. And what I want to start with, before I turn this over to the great therapist I work with here, is that it sounds to me like your difficulties and your struggles, the stuff of life, you stuff inside of you. And I just want you to know that that's real energy. And so what that stuff is, we carry on too much. There's too much going in your mind, too much going on in your heart. You're carrying guilt. You're carrying shame. You're carrying all of these things. And eventually, it starts shutting us down. The things that we call internalize, the things that we take on without ever offloading. And that's what the best of confession is. The best of confession is saying this burden of my own sin or this burden of my own experience is too much and I need to offload it and get it out. And then that opens up space for God's forgiveness, the forgiveness of other people. And so I just want to encourage you that you need to find some place to offload some of this stuff. And I think confession is right, but you also, I think, need place to understand what you have taken on in your life. What are the experiences that have caused you hurt and pain and fear? And how do I touch that and how do I heal from that?
And could you just clarify one thing, Edward, and then we'll come back and chat with you. When you said, I'm losing the desire and arousal, can you finish that? I'm losing the desire for what? And and I'm having problems with arousal around what? Can you fill that in? What do you...
Just, when it comes with me and my wife.
Okay. Yeah. You're losing your desire for her.
And we'll come back to this right after our break.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. We're talking with Edward. Edward, Sherry had a great question for you going into the break, and it was, you've lost a desire for what and an arousal for what, and you said your wife. And so what about your wife?
Intimacy?
Yeah, there it is, right there. So what do you do with your sexual intimacy, or what do you do with your sexuality?
What do I do with it?
Yeah, like how we were saying at the break, is oftentimes when we are taking things on, we do offload them, but sometimes we offload them in unhealthy ways. And so let me ask, is pornography a struggle in your life?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Then what is your unconfessed sin?
What's my sins that I'm not confessing?
Yeah.
Well, that's just it. God's been really working in my life just for the past few months, and I've just been unloading.
Can you name to us, Edward, what your unconfessed sin is? Can you say it out loud here?
Some of the sins that I've confessed, or...
Yes. What's the ongoing sin pattern you have that's weighing you down so much?
One thing God has shown me was, pride, or, maybe trying to be self-sufficient.
And that spiritual...
Go
ahead. Thinking you can.
Thinking I can... Because I've been... Lately, I've been trying to, think I can fix this problem on my own. And I've been trying to pray about it. And it's, nothing's changing.
So it's time to break out of just taking it to God, because God himself asks us to take it to other people. And we can hear the hesitation in your voice of even fully revealing to us what's going on. But it will be through relationship with other people and getting down to the deep, dark stuff about you that's hard to admit to. That's where God is able to do the healing work, but it has to be in the light of relationship.
And you know what's interesting, Edward, is we don't think about how much our brain is actually involved in intimacy. If a brain is depressed, do you know that the depressed brain causes us to be socially isolated more? It actually disrupts sleep and sex. Those things can become difficult, if not almost impossible, if our brain isn't getting the type of supports it needs, if it doesn't have the brain chemistry it needs. And so you might be taking on some guilt and shame because you're not feeling as aroused by your wife, or you're struggling with your own sexuality with her and her desire. But have you ever thought about the fact that it might be an organ above your belt and not below your belt? That you really might be struggling with depression. And instead of supplements, you may need to get in and see a psychiatrist that can start looking at some alternatives to help your brain start feeling better.
And it will be the combination of both the right medication, but also talking this through, that will bring you to breakthrough and will affect the intimacy with your wife, not just physically, but emotionally as well.
Do you have some concerns about medication, Edward? Are there some fears about it, or does your wife have some fears about it?
Yeah, because probably like 7 years ago, I did. That was one of the first things I tried, and I just really didn't like it, didn't like the side effects, and it was making me worse instead of better. So we tried a different route, and we went to the health food store, and the past few years, I've been just taking stuff from the health food store.
Right. Yeah. I really wish Dr. Amen was on. Have you listened to him on the show? He's a regular co-host on our show here, but I'm wishing he was here today, because he would probably say, Edward, my friend, do you know how many Edwards I have come in to me? Because they've got issues just like yours. And he's the one that does the brain SPECT imaging and all of that. But, you know, just because one medication didn't work, there's tests now that they can give you, and these weren't around 7 years ago, that psychiatrists actually give, that put together a list of different medications that would be best for your brain. You might have 6 or 7 or 8 different choices, and they didn't have that 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where I would encourage you to take the time to go back and invest, see what's new. Dr. Amen's got a book called Healing Anxiety and Depression. You can go online here at New Life. We get a little kickback if you buy it through us, right? Through our Smile account. That would be a really good book for you to read.
Absolutely. And Edward, we're going to also send you a copy of Understanding and Loving a Person with Depression out of the Otterburn series. And you are that person that needs understanding and love. And so thank you for calling, and we'll be back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. And, you know, we just had Edward on the phone. And, you know, I just wanted to make a comment, and that is depression. And especially with May being Mental Health Awareness Month, male depression is a real thing. And I think, again, it carries too much stigma around it. And for those of us who are guys, oftentimes that our depression shows up in unique ways. Sometimes it is just feeling down, the typical thing, feeling sad or not having energy for the normal things. But oftentimes it does impact our arousal. It does impact our ability for sexual intimacy and sexual intercourse. And there's so many other things, but what I really want to focus in on is that Edward, in his depression, which is very typical, had a hard time identifying what it is. But there's this line that we've heard all of our life, and that it is the devil is in the details. And I will say, yes, our struggles are in the details, but so is God. So guys, if you're struggling out there, don't be afraid to get specific with what you're struggling with. Don't be afraid to name it and call it out. because there is help for it. We don't have to suffer unnecessarily with these.
And you were saying, not Edward's situation, but you were saying oftentimes the men you're working with in the addiction field, a lot of them will self-medicate with pornography means of trying to feel better.
Yes.
From the feelings that come with depression.
Exactly. They'll use it as an antidepressant medication, obviously only exacerbating the depression on the back end of it, but then they get caught up into that loop.
Yeah, because of the oxytocin, the adrenaline, all the chemicals.
It's hard to compete with that dopamine and the combination of oxytocin. But with that said, so when we're seeking help, we don't, it's not just a one thing, I just need to stop doing this behavior. Well, yeah, you need to stop doing the behavior because it's damaging, but you need to figure out what's going on underneath it as well. So we have both recovery and we have healing that need to be working together. It's one of the things that we are passionate here at New Life is that we want to combine the best help possible that God has given us. And we need people's help to be able to do that, to be able to stay on the radio, to talk with Edwards and Jans and everyone else that we get this privilege to do and to help. But again, it costs money. It takes financial resources to do that. And to that end, we have this $459,000 gift, that matching gift that we want to get to the end of May. We're over 50%. But we want to fulfill that. If your life has been positively impacted, we ask that you multiply that impact by joining with us and contributing to this matching gift. Any gift that you give in the month of May you'll be given Dave Stoop's book, You Are What You Think. And that is just a thank you gift. But the real thank you gift, again, is the amount of lives that are positively impacted both by healing and recovery that we offer here.
And when we choose to give, there's brain science behind this. We actually feel better. It's kind of an antidepressant and an anti-anxiety to become generous and to choose to be generous. And then we've got this fantastic God that also says he will bless us as we risk in giving.
Yes. Yeah. And you can give online or by calling us, or even texting the word MATCH, M-A-T-C-H, to 28950. That's 28950. And so join us. Let's match this gift. Let's hit our goal, and let's keep transforming lives. And to continue doing that, we're going to go to Angie in Corona, California. And Angie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. Angie, how can we help you today?
Well, I'm struggling with how to hold the line and move my daughter back out of my house. We brought her in. She's 26. And I know she's suffering depression, but she won't admit it and see somebody. She came out of a domestic violence situation. And since she's moved into the house, she's basically doesn't talk to anybody. She's been ignoring everybody like we're pieces of furniture. And it's caused a lot of stress and tension in the house because she won't talk to anybody. She has a dog with her. We had her bring. And my husband has now had it up to here with the disrespect and says she has 30 days to get out. And I'm concerned that she may not be able to financially do that. And I'm kind of caught between wanting to help her and needing to be respectful of our household.
Uh-huh.
Angie, you love your daughter deeply, and you have a lot of reasons to be concerned about her. The way you're trying to help her is not helping her. It may actually be keeping her stuck.
Okay.
You're pretty accepting of that. Why?
I just don't know what to do anymore.
Mm-hmm. So Alice, how is she keeping her stuck? What can she do?
Well, Angie, when the kind of help we're giving is keeping our adult child immature and overly dependent, And when your daughter's engaging in disrespect and sort of taking advantage of your generosity, that form of help is not assisting her in really breaking out of the variety of issues that she's dealing with. I don't know if your husband's stance is too extreme. She may need some assistance from you folks to be able to get back on her feet. Go ahead.
She just got a job full time. She's just in the 90-day probation period. And he has said to her, we will pay the first and last month's rent. But she need to move. And so it scares me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that fear is legitimate because I think you guys, and you're calling because you sense that you're solving the wrong problem, right? Because her problem, her primary problem isn't financial. Her primary problem is that she's shut down. She's gone dark.
Yes.
And that's what you're scared of.
I'm scared of her ending up on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And not keeping the job, and it's expensive in California.
Absolutely.
And maybe even finding another abuser.
$18 is not a lot. Right, it's not a lot. Well, I'm less concerned about that. I think she's not going back to him, and I think she's pretty strong.
Okay, but that doesn't mean she won't. That doesn't mean she won't find another person that's going to abuse her
as
well.
True.
Right, and
that's true.
Yeah, you know, I think it's so easy when we're frustrated to try to find a quick solution for a very, very damaging situation. How long was she with this abusive man?
3 years.
Okay. So we might try to fix a problem in 3 days that took 3 years to create. And I probably would be open to thinking about offering some financial assistance, but only if she will join you in some therapy sessions. Like, there's got to be some therapeutic intervention here. There's got to be a lifeline between what just happened to her for 3 years and what she's going to need to heal from, and then how she can better equip herself to not repeat the pattern again. Because we don't heal by not facing it. I think about Leslie Vernick's book, The Emotionally Destructive Relationship. I love Leslie Vernick. She is an advocate for people that are in women that are in abusive relationships, and the reason she is an advocate is because so many people like your daughter have been deeply hurt. But if they don't get the help they need, if it doesn't make sense for them, I mean, it's almost counterintuitive for her to go talk about it because it feels like an open wound. Like, if I go talk about it, then I'm going to have to feel the feelings again. Well, yeah, you might, and you will feel some feelings, but you're going to figure out how you got there in the first place and why you tolerated it for 3 years.
And it's probably Tara.
She has a counselor. She's taken that step.
Okay.
She was in the Navy, and so she's got that, and she has a psychiatrist who's prescribing her Adderall through. The problem is she's in absolute denial about this depression and what she's seen. It runs in our family. And she's making us miserable.
But have you ever thought? Have you ever thought? And we're not saying you have to, but have you ever thought that she might, as a component of depression, have post-traumatic stress from the abuse?
I know she does.
Okay.
I know she does. Yeah, I mean, I've talked to other people, you know, before, and I'm just trying to. My thing is my husband said, "Look, you've got 30 days." Move out, we'll pay first and last month's rent. And it just...
Okay, so Angie, we got to head to a break, so we'll come back to you right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. We're talking with Angie and just struggling with her daughter. And so, Angie, I have a question for you. Ready for this?
Yeah.
Because
yes.
I'm putting the pieces of the puzzle together that I can, and that is your daughter has a full-time job. She's seeing a counselor. She's seeing a psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. Your husband has agreed to pay first and last month's rent. That sounds like a lot of really good things. So what are you afraid of?
Well, I'm playing the what-if game, and because I want her to be somewhere safe, like in an apartment, that if she doesn't have a place to go, what is she going to do at the end of 30 days? I mean, he's had it because she's been so disrespectful.
Okay, so what if? The what if is this. It's a loser's game. It's a fool's errand. Because it's based on things that have not yet happened. What if she finds great healing? What if she finds this new level of freedom in her life? What if she finds that this job leads to a great career? So your what ifs are always going to worst case scenarios, and they're not going to best case scenarios. Now, there may be a different issue going on that I hear that's really important, and that is the relationship between your daughter and mom and dad doesn't work. It's painful. And so what I would do in there, I think everything is set up great. In the answer to your question, what should I do? And I would say family therapy. Get you, your husband, and your daughter into the same room with a counselor to help you work through what is not working or is painful in the relationship.
And there are probably two issues there. One is your and your husband's ability to address her disrespect as it's happening in the moment. Perhaps you all wait too long and then you get to an extreme position of, we can't take it anymore, you got 30 days, you have to get out. And there's an ignore, and zap routine there that's played out versus the ability to address it as it's taking place, which isn't easy to do. It's a skill we all have to learn. And the other piece, I think, is that you might take responsibility for your daughter and you try to take on her adult responsibilities that are hers to bear. It's hers to figure out where she'll be living at the end of the 30 days. And she's got a lot of pieces in place to ensure that she will have a place. That's her concern and that's her problem. And you're taking too much ownership of it.
And sometimes what can happen, if that is happening, if we feel guilt or responsible for their lack of failure or we're afraid around that, then we become kind of nitpicky with them. Mm-hmm. We set up these expectations or standards of how they should be, that they need to maybe be nicer. And maybe she's irritated that you guys are irritated. I mean, it can even work into that corner, right? But I think what we've heard is there are some good things in place. Try love. Just
yeah.
try.
Yeah.
In this next 30 days, I'm proud of you. I'm so proud of you for getting a job. Thank you for taking responsibility and seeing a counselor. Thank you for caring for your brain and actually going to see a psychiatrist. Thank you for taking care of the dog, making sure it's fed and watered. And we love you. We care about you. We want the best for you.
Yes, we want to keep it positive. And Angie, we're going to send you a copy of How We Love, because I think that's going to help really understand what's going on beneath the surface for how you guys experience love and how you experience connection. So, Angie, thank you so much for calling in. And we hope the best. And sticking with love, because love never fails, is always the best route. So we hope for you guys the best. And we're going to try to go to one more call today. We're going to go to Gene in Clarksville, Tennessee, listening on Sirius XM. So, Gene, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but how can we help you today?
Hi, I have I am struggling in the midst of a long struggle with my daughter, who recently got diagnosed with ODD, which is
oppositional defiant disorder. Yeah.
Yes, and she, you know, we've always had issues with her, and we thought she might have been slightly autistic or on the spectrum because she was pushing and hitting and biting well past 4 years old. Well, now we've had a lot of problems with her having these meltdowns that I can see coming a mile away, and they're usually triggered by something emotional, like she doesn't win the game, or, you know, she's not getting her way, or she gets embarrassed, and I cannot stop these before they become full-blown crying, stomping, throwing a fit, just making this mass causes stress for her and me, and we have her seeing a therapist, and I've brought this up to him, but all he's having us do right now is to have what's called special time with her, and then also to give her a lot of praise for doing small little tasks that we ask her to do, and he says it's building her up. And we've been seeing him for over a month now, and we keep having these meltdowns, these emotionally triggered meltdowns, and I just don't know what to do. Like, I try and get her to do deep breathing, and she refuses to do it in the middle of a meltdown. And we've tried practicing it before meltdowns, but I try to get her to just, you know, redirect in any way, and I can't. And she has them a lot, and I just feel like I'm at the end of my rope with her, and I just hope y'all had some advice.
Yeah, some direction with that.
Do you know she feels that in you? Do you know she...
No.
Yeah, she feels your panic. She sees it on your face.
Oh.
She feels...
Yeah.
She feels scared that your anxiety is escalated. Mm-hmm. And it's co-creating this thing. And so I not only would have you have her continue with her therapist, but I would have you get into some help for you right now to have somebody really counsel and coach you and how you can work into providing a safe place. If she's upset and she's very activated, she won't be able to deep breathe. Because her body has to calm down first. She mm-hmm. can't even think about breathing.
Yeah.
And so it might be learning, getting down on the floor with her and putting your hand on her leg just gently. There's going to be more helps than we have time to talk to. But I would just say, hey, you get in to see somebody who specializes with children's issues as a therapist and go with your notebook to listen and learn.
Yes, there is this thing called TBRI, and that stands for Trust-Based Relational Intervention. And it was developed by child therapist specialist out of actually the University of North Texas, I believe. But anyhow, it really has this thing that Cher was talking about called co-regulation. And what happens is that your daughter, in her emotional outbursts, throws you off. And then it sort of kind of bounces off of each other and just escalates more and more and more. So trust-based relational intervention really helps you stay grounded a lot more in the midst of your daughter kind of going off rails. And eventually what that teaches her is it teaches your daughter how to regulate herself. Now, again, you have to take the long game, not the short game in this. But I believe that that could be really, really helpful for your situation, because again, they develop TBRI directly for your situation and from your situation.
And you know what I found, and I'm not saying this for you guys, I'm not trying to change the diagnosis, but sometimes the kids come into the world and they have brain chemistry issues like OCD, and that OCD sets them up to be oppositional mm-hmm. and argumentative, or they might have untreated bipolar disorder, and there's so many things that yeah. might be underneath. At 6.5, mm-hmm. she's little. I mean, her brain is still... Yes. Trying to figure it out.
Well, Jean, we're going to send you a copy of How We Love Our Children, and I believe that that's going to be really helpful. And stick with your therapist. Again, check out TBRI. And thank you all for being with us. And just remember, perfect love casts out fear. Have
listening.
A great day.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.